It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
Live from Everywhere USA, it's Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
Here we go, here we go. Coming to you live from the greatest country in the world, broadcasting from the tippy top of the world-famous Fox News headquarters in New York City. It is Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla, a man who has never been to the southern border. 2 years into his tenure, neither has President Joe Biden. But yesterday, and now a few minutes ago today, he reiterated that he is headed down to the southern border next week.
I don't remember that ever happening.
But it did, and we have the clips, although don't get too excited. When Biden was asked if he'd make a run to the border, he did think they were referring to Taco Bell, from what I was just told by my sources.
Biden's lost his marbles.
Oh, stop it. We'll get into the leader of the free world, as well as the ongoing Republican quest to find a leader in the House of Representatives.
What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
We'll explain what's responsible for the logjam in the House with a former member of the House. Jason Chaffetz is going to join us today. All of our scheduled House members who are supposed to be on today, you know, the Jim Jordans, the Byron Donalds, the Kat Kamiks, they're all back in the House trying to come up with some answers. So you won't hear from them today, but you'll hear from Chaffetz and you'll hear from Divin' Dave Landau, fantastic comedian, one of my better pals in the business. And, of course, we will hear from you if you are so inclined. 888-788-9910. You know the rules on this show. You can be a Republican. You could be a Democrat. You could be a Libertarian. You could be anything you want to be, okay? Be all that you can be. Remember those Army commercials? Be all that you can be. They used to run them after G.I. Joe, but they don't have – I don't think you can have G.I. Joe anymore. I think it's G.I. Josephine. I think they had to, like, degender it.
What the hell is the world coming to?
I don't know, but whatever you're coming to, whatever conclusion you have drawn, you can express it on this show freely, be a Republican, be a Democrat, just don't be a – Hey, let's start really quick with some good news. We did receive word about an hour ago from the Buffalo Bills that Damar Hamlin's neurological function is fine, and he seems to be showing strong signs of recovery, so much so that a teammate tweeted that he was alert and awake and doing well. That is a huge win. Like, I am beyond thrilled to tell you, and if you have any empathy in your body, I know you are as well. If you watched those horrific images the other night, it was a lot to get through. And, you know, I was pretty open about the fact that we weren't going to try to turn this into some political commentary on football or maybe some, you know, vaccine people were like, well, it was the vac. We don't know any of that. Okay. So as I said Monday, we will only talk about Damar Hamlin in terms of what we know. Of course, that message was lost on the women at The View.
The View was awful.
The View did a whole thing yesterday that we'll get into later in the show with Dave Landau about banning football and, you know, white men and the patriarchy and everything in between. But right now, while we are celebrating the neurological health of Damar Hamlin, we are sad to report that the president of the United States is not in fine mental health.
If you like Biden so much, name 3 of his complete sentences.
I don't know that we can, but I want to begin with a clip yesterday. So Biden is down in Kentucky hanging out with Mitch McConnell, and they're celebrating the passage of their bipartisan omnibus spending bill, which, by the way,
that is so embarrassing.
No one at a time when inflation is at a 40-year high, our national debt is at $33 trillion. No one should be celebrating the fact that we just printed and spent $1.7 trillion that we don't even have to our name.
That is financial lunacy.
It's also the status quo in Washington. It's one of the reasons the congressional holdouts in the House don't trust the establishment to do the right thing if they go along and confirm Kevin McCarthy. They've seen no signs that the establishment will represent the will of the people. Now, Joe Biden was out there yesterday, not only representing the will of the people, but he was representing what he called an old saying, which I got to be honest, I had never heard before until he said it. Biden does this all the time. The problem is not that he speaks in gibberish, okay? The problem is that oftentimes there's a buildup before the gibberish, meaning he gets big and emotional and you all know what I'm about to say now. So you tune in like this going to be good. And then this happens.
We hold these truths to be self-evident. All men and women created by the... Go, you know the thing.
I mean, dude!
Do you speak any English?
We hold these truths. All men and women created by... Go, you know the thing.
We have a president that is clearly not all there.
That's part of the problem. So yesterday, he's speaking in front of a bridge in Kentucky. And if you look closely in the background of the bridge, you can see the sign language interpreter jumping off of it because he can't believe he has to try to make signs for this nonsense. I mean, really, total mess, okay? And I've said this before, I feel bad for sign language interpreters because Biden makes them look like they're bad at their job. Because if you're following along in the audience and you see the signs and, oh, here comes a saying we all know, we used to use it in my old neighborhood, everybody's signing back with the same level of anticipation that you're listening with. They're saying, oh, well, this ought to be good. The old saying from the neighborhood. We know this one. And then this happens. It is clip 27.
I've traveled over 140 countries around the world. And so I'll paraphrase the phrase in my old neighborhood. The rest of the countries, the world's not a patch on our jeans. If we do what we want to do, we need to do.
I mean, man, the rest of the world. Let me give you the verbatim. I've traveled over 140 countries around the world. I was the paraphrase, the phrase, in my old neighborhood. The rest of the countries, the world, is not a patch on our jeans. If we do what we want to do, what we need to do.
This man needs a retirement home and a warm bowl of soup.
Listen, man, we laugh about it. We're like, oh, the elevator doesn't go all the way to the top floor. We have fun. It's a coping mechanism. It's what we do. The media might pretend it's all fine and great and dandy and he's sharp as a tack. But you know who's not pretending this is okay? Our enemies.
That's true. That is true.
One of the reasons you see people like Putin emboldened on the world stage... You see, Kim Jong-un lobbing missiles over Japan. You see China surrounding Taiwan is because they don't believe there is a cognitive functioning voice in the Oval Office right now. They believe that they're just a patch on America's jeans, whatever the hell that happens to mean.
Biden is such a disaster.
He really is. And nobody believes he's in charge. And about a week ago, if you remember, we were yelling and screaming. It's probably 2 weeks now because Biden was asked in the last week of December if you were going to go down to the southern border. And what did he say at the time? He said, no, come on. We got more important things to do than go to the border. Oh, really? At a time when, 5 million people have crossed since he got into office, at a time when the fentanyl has become the number one cause of adult death in this country, at a time when 30% of the women who cross our border illegally get sexually assaulted. So you're talking about, literally over 1 million sexual assaults since the guy got into office. There are more important things to do than look into stuff like that, folks. Clown stuff by Joe Biden. But why did he say it? Because in traditional politics... In traditional politics, okay, it's not as important, okay? The reality will always come second to the perception they're trying to sell you. Optics over outcomes. The optics, if they go, are really bad, okay? You go down there, he's brings the whole press pool with him. So now there's imagery all over every channel in the country, not just Fox News, who have been covering it relentlessly with Bill Malusian and his fabulous hair. I mean, this guy's down there, rain, sleet, snow, doesn't matter. He's in the river. He's out of the river. His hair looks like $1 million. If this doesn't end with Malusian getting an endorsement for some type of hair product, there is no justice left in this country. But the point is, we have been covering it. Why? Because we're trying to highlight a humanitarian crisis. We're trying to highlight these fentanyl overdose deaths. We're trying to highlight the depleted morale amongst our border agents who have testified before Congress to losing operational control of three sectors of our border. This is the front door of our house. Our Border Patrol flat out saying they have so much paperwork and human resources to do that they can't actually focus on securing the border. Here is Biden. Here's the clip he had given us in mid-December. It was actually December 6th. I want to be accurate. Talking about better things to do than go to the border. This is clip two.
Why go to a border state and not visit the border? Because the more important thing going on, they're going to invest billions of dollars in a new enterprise.
Garbage like you just makes me sick.
Okay, he wouldn't go to the border if you wanted a politics to English dictionary. Because right now, everybody in the country that's not a person who watches Fox News believes the border is some Republican talking point. Oh, they're just trying to slander Biden. Oh, the border. Would you shut up about the border? What about January 6th? Did anyone get killed on January 6th?
The answer would be no.
The border is the leading cause of adult death in America right now. Think about that. And I'm not telling you January 6th is fine and dandy, but, you know, let's be adults about this. One is not the other. Okay, when you talk about people being sexually assaulted, when you talk about the families drowning in the river, when you talk about the 53 migrants that suffocated to death in a tractor trailer. But why is Biden finally visiting the border now? Because even Democratic governors are starting to speak up.
Oh, wow!
Okay, whether they're the mayor of New York, like Eric Adams, who has finally acknowledged that Washington needs to be doing more, or you're talking about Colorado, okay, where their governor is now saying, dude, this is ridiculous. We've got to relocate these migrants. I know we said we're a sanctuary city. I know we said no person is illegal. I know we said Americans should be building bridges and not walls. But that was before these illegals started showing up to our communities.
Democrats are so full of crap.
You see how that works? Martha's Vineyard. Do you remember Martha's Vineyard? Welcome to Martha's Vineyard, where no human being is illegal. And then 25 Venezuelans showed up on a bus and Martha's Vineyard changed the sign from no human being is illegal to
get them out of here. Get them out.
They were gone in 24 hours. They were gone in 24 hours. And why? Why did we find ourselves in this position to begin with? Because the Democrats and their political opposition to Trump turned around and abandoned the principle they themselves had embraced. The Democrats voted for border wall funding two times. They voted once under George W. Bush. They voted a second time under Barack Obama.
I don't see you doing any better in the booty department.
They loved border wall funding because everyone should. It's the border of your country. It's the front door of your house. It's no different, okay? You want to know who's coming in and out of your front door at night. Doesn't mean everybody who walks past your house is a criminal. That's not the statement you're making, okay? The statement you're making is, in an effort to be responsible and keep your family safe, you want to know, you want to secure the entrances to your house. But they started running a narrative in the press when Trump said build a wall that securing the border never happened anywhere else in the world, and it was racist to even think about doing so.
It was made up by these sick people.
Seriously. Oh, no, what do you mean? We should be building bridges, not wall. What do you mean? First of all, we shouldn't be building bridges, because under this administration, everybody would be jumping off them with the inflation, the crime, and everything else. But the point was, political opposition is supposed to come with a basic decency. If something's good for the country, you're not supposed to slander it and run it out of town just because you want to score points against the other side. But that's exactly what we've done in this moment, okay? And the game they were playing, okay, in the Democratic Party, this whole Looney Tunes nonsense of, no, border, securing the border's racist. The border's secure to begin with. What are you even talking about? Well, the jig is finally up because now it's the Democrats who have been forced to acknowledge it, too.
That's all, folks.
A show with substance and style.
This is my oldest guy in the boy band look.
It's Fox Across America with Jimmy Fallon.
He's a good-looking Italian.
I'm Charles Payne. Listen to my Unstoppable Prosperity podcast so I can get you making money right now. Whether stocks are hitting new all-time highs or in freefall mode, opportunities abound. So why are so many potential investors still sitting on the sidelines? In a new season of my podcast, I'm going to get you in the game. After 38 years on Wall Street, I'm ready to impart some lessons and get you invested in the greatest wealth-generating machine in history. Listen anytime, everywhere at foxbusinesspodcast.com or wherever you listen to your favorite podcast.
It is Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla. This show, heading back out onto the road in February. I'm in town doing a lot of TV in January, but in February, you'll see me at the Carson Nugget. Saturday night, February the 4th, out in Carson, Nevada. On February 17th and 18th, I will be at Fat Cats Comedy Club up in Utica. If you're listening on WIBX, get my man Davey, get him down to the comedy club. March the 3rd, I will be at the Federal Way Performing Arts and Events Center in Seattle, Washington. Come for the comedy, stay for the Antifa riot. And then March the 4th, I am at the Crest Theater in Sacramento, California. And then in April, we're back out on the road. April 7th, I'm at the Tower Theater in Bend, Oregon. April 8th, we will be at the Egyptian Theater in Boise, Idaho. And then April 21st and 22nd, gas up the Camaro, tease up the bangs, Tina. We're going to New Jersey. We will be at Bananas in Bergen, New Jersey, April the 21st and 22nd. And you'll never feel better about your own drinking than when you go to the Bananas Comedy Club in Jersey and meet some of my Fox News friends who will definitely be at that show. And in bad shape in the process. Right now, the real comedy, though, taking place in the House, where they are about to nominate Kevin McCarthy for a seventh time, a seventh go-round. And one more, I do believe he wins a toaster. I think you get to pick. It's like they give you a catalog. You get a toaster or you get a set of wine glasses. I'm not sure. But the nominating speeches are taking place right now. We're going to have Jason Chaffetz inside this little huddle in the next break to walk us through the ins and outs of how this works, what kind of horse trading gets done, what kind of wine list they're allowed to order off on K Street if they go along with the nomination. I don't know. I don't know actually how it works. But I know I'm always excited to see Mr. Chaffetz. One of my questions about this is the labeling issue. What I've heard a lot of people say in the media is like, the Republicans look really disorganized, which I don't doubt is the case to a lot of observers. But I heard a lot yesterday around this channel. They were like, wow, this looks so disorganized. We can't have the Democrats calling this disorganized. And just on a superficial level, I'm like, disorganized is the nicest thing they've ever called the Republican Party. We've just gone through a year of white supremacy, semi-fascists. You know, you're all bigots. You're all racists.
Democrats just call everyone racist so they go along with their stupid ideas.
Totally. But the point being is disorganized is probably, we should send them a thank you card for calling the Republican Party disorganized. Is it disorganized? Yeah, probably. Okay, but I will tell you right now, I don't know if he has the votes in this seventh vote. I do know Nancy Pelosi, whatever you think of her.
Nancy Pelosi is a total dingbat.
Fine. But her whole MO, her whole ethos is I would never go to the floor if I didn't have the votes. Okay, when you're the House Speaker, that's your job. Get the votes. As Britt Hume said last night, it's like wrangling cats. Well, in this instance, McCarthy has let the cats get away six different times. Okay, this is now a seventh floor vote. If he's going to the floor for a seventh vote and they don't have the votes, I got to be honest, man. This is a really bad look. This is a really bad look. And I don't know how this plays out, but Chaffetz very well may. But the only case I keep hearing, and this is what I want to ask Chaffetz because he knows this stuff. The only case people keep making is like, do it or you're a terrorist. Do it or you're an obstructionist. You know, social pressure doesn't really work on people, you know, who seem to have seen through a lot of the BS. And what I mean by that is a lot of people don't trust leadership right now. The omnibus spending bill, okay? Republicans voted for that. They voted for that at a time when, you know, literally 4,100 pages sat on their desk that nobody had even been able to read or audit. When hundreds of millions of dollars in pork flew out the window, the Republican leadership and Mitch McConnell not only voted for it, but he celebrated it when he was done voting for it.
That was embarrassing.
So you understand if people are a little skeptical right now, there is reason to be. Chaffetz knows this better than anybody, though, so I'll let him walk me through where I might be right, where I might be wrong. I don't care. The point of this show is not Jimmy's omnipotent radio hour where I just lord over the conversation and demand to be acknowledged as correct. I get things wrong all the time. Have you seen my wardrobe on TV? My Lord. Okay, but the point is they're getting ready. They just nominated Akeem Jeffries. They just nominated McCarthy. Dan Bishop is speaking right now. Let's hope he's not going to nominate me. He just nominated Byron Donalds. So here we go again. Jason Chaffetz will be riding shotgun when we come back to call balls and strikes on the seventh nominating contest in the House of Representatives right here on the big, bad, one and only Fox Across America.
It's the morning show that overslept. Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
Oh, you bet it is. And if the band sounds fired up, it's because they are. Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla. ushering in some high-priced talent now. Red carpet has been rolled out. Staff has been advised no eye contact is permitted for the next 10 minutes with the
control booth. Well, and you're busting out the shirt.
The shirt. Host of the
Last time I was here, you wore that shirt.
Well, listen, let's defund the fashion police for 1 minute, and we'll get into this. He is the host of the Jason in the House podcast, former superstar congressman turned Fox News contributor. Jason Chaffetz is here. And he's hit me hard for wearing my red shirt again.
Oh, no.
I've only worn this twice.
Oh, the thing is, the shirt comes with...
Oh, there's some boots. No, things
are happening. It comes with the boots.
Things are happening. I gussy it up for the Fox Nation crowd.
Yeah. I don't usually get the Western treatment when I come to New York, and you roll it out.
I'm impressed. The right thing. It's like the Olive Garden when you're here.
Yeah,
your
I
family.
Feel more at home.
Yeah, I want you to feel
at
home.
I mean, the Intermountain West. We are the Rocky Mountains.
Thank
you.
Mm-hmm.
When you think of Rocky Mountains, you don't think of Utah, but you should.
No, it's the right thing to do.
It happens to be the Western side of it.
Uh-huh. No, I'm very pro Rocky Mountain, but what I'm getting right now, Chaffetz, in the condition I'm in, is this is partly a Western look.
Condition you're in?
Yeah, well, you know.
Oh, I thought you were saying you were conditioned.
No.
I was questioning conditioning.
My shirt, it half looks Western. I also look like a figure skater who let himself go. Because this is something you'd see on like a 105-pound figure skater that
it's
gets
like
hoisted
took
at the end of the routine.
Two figure skating outfits and fused them together and make one nice big Thalia version.
I am Siegfried and Wah. I am both of them. Not one and the other.
What was that movie? What was that movie about the
Blades of Glory?
Yes,
the figure skaters. Great one.
Oh my gosh.
Fantastic one. So yes. That's me. I'm
Blades of Glory.
I'm a figure skater who got a little carried away during the lockdown. It's got a little, you know, a little too much time on the couch. We're not landing double Lutzes anymore. We're doing double cheeseburgers. That's the problem. There's no triple Sal Cal. Maybe a triple double at Fred's Deli. But stick with me, Chaffetz. We got a vote going on in the House. This is the 7th go-round. Now, I want to ask you this because you've been a part of this process and you know it better than I do. Okay. There's obviously a lot of pressure on the holdouts. I just want a horse sense reaction here. Do you get the feeling that nothing would get them to go along to McCarthy because it's personal, or are there genuine concessions they're holding out for? What's your gut?
You can't lump all 20 into it.
Okay, that's fair.
And so I think for some of them, it is so personal, mm-hmm. and they don't trust them. There's distrust on both sides going both directions. Mm-hmm. That's where I don't know that McCarthy can ultimately get to the finish line because I think there may be more of those people. When your margin's only 4, can you peel off 4, 5, 10 of them? Yes, but you're still shy of what you need to get to.
All right, so I want to expand on that because I do think, to a point you mentioned, that there could be more people that feel this way. Right now, they have cover. You know, they can keep voting to confirm him and look like they're not against this and they weren't part of the disruption because they have the disruptors doing the heavy lifting for them. But are you saying if he comes down, if it, for whatever reason they withdrew the bid, you might see an avalanche to the other guy?
Yes. And I think, look, ultimately you have to get to 218. Yep. That's the way their founders set it up. Mm-hmm. You know, the members didn't set up those rules. Our founders did. Uh-huh. So you have to get to a consensus person. My sense of it is, this is sort of a Republican's view of it. Uh-huh. Sometimes it goes to the person who really doesn't want it, didn't even ask for it. Yeah. That's how Paul Ryan got there.
That happened to Paul Ryan, yeah.
Yeah, and there's something appealing to the group that, you know, and you look at the chaos and look at the margin, look at everything. Who does want to do this? I mean, come on.
It's a rough gig. Jason Chaffetz is in the House, which is, oddly enough, very similar to the title of your award-winning podcast.
Yes.
A podcast that will book anybody. I've been on it. You didn't make me wear the red shirt, though.
We can come back.
There was no Hey, I would love to. Come on, Chaffetz. I'm a fan. And you know that. So this is the other question I was going to ask you then, knowing what we know about the process and where we are in the process at this point, because he's going through a 7th vote. There's 4 other votes right now. So he's very close to basically coming out of this without it an 8th time or 7th time. At some point, you know, if you're going to the floor without the votes, I don't understand what they're hoping is going to change. That's what I just wanted to ask
you. So the Republicans don't control the vote. The person in charge is the clerk. Yeah. There are no official members of Congress.
So it's not their decision.
It's not their decision. No, nobody's sworn in. So Kevin McCarthy, look, they're up to 6 now that have voted against it, so it is going to fail.
Dang it.
Again.
This is nuts.
And the question is, will it be 20 or 21 or get worse or bit better? But it is the clerk and the clerk alone that gets to make these decisions about calling these votes.
Wow, that's fascinating stuff. So let me ask you this. On any level, are you enjoying the fact that it's gone through the ringer the way it has? I know it hasn't happened in 100 years. I'm kind of getting a kick out of it because I do believe it was drawn up to entitle us to rigorous debate. I don't know that anyone in Washington is. You know a lot more people in Washington than I do. Is anyone enjoying this, or are they like, this is nuts and we look bad?
I have advocated for years that the process by which you select your nominee to become the speaker has been broken.
Oh, good.
There's no transparency to it whatsoever.
Uh-huh.
Think about it. They're second in line to the presidency. They're the speaker of the House of Representatives. They hold one of the most important. Why Kevin McCarthy?
Yeah. Well, that's what I wanted to ask you.
Does anybody know? Okay. Like, look, the reality is he's there because he raised the most money.
Yeah, that's...
The reason Nancy Pelosi was the speaker is she raised the most money.
Yeah.
That's how we're going to pick the next person.
So, like, I'm with you. That's what I've been saying.
There should be a debate. Members should be on the record. There should be a vote.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I have also said, look, I would have voted against Kevin McCarthy in the conference meeting.
Uh-huh.
You would think that those who wanted to run for speaker...
Mm-hmm.
would put their names up and there'd be a debate. You would be wrong.
Yeah.
There is like a conference question and answer of which a few members show up.
Okay.
Less than a week after the election, they get together and they vote.
Wow.
Now, Kevin got the majority of the majority, but he got like 180, 190 something votes.
Okay.
But not the requisite 218. Wow. And they thought that, hey, people would cave at that point.
Yep.
I wouldn't characterize it as caving. I would have fought against it. I would have said, hey, no, I want somebody else. You've been in leadership for 14 years.
Yeah.
Things have not gotten better. You had your chance.
You can't. Listen, I'm with amen to Jason Chaffetz. I didn't know how this was going to go because I have been screaming that this shouldn't be the guy. I mean, in all honesty, and if it is the guy, this shouldn't be the process for anointing him as the guy.
Well, okay. So, but here's the point, though. Mm-hmm. When you have that discussion, vigorous discussion in the conference, which they really didn't ever have.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I would have then said, all right, I lost.
Yeah.
Kevin got the majority of the majority. And not a plurality. He got the majority of the majority. It's the so-called Hastert
rule. So this could have played out in private.
It could have.
Uh-huh.
And then I would have said, hey, look, I lost.
Uh-huh.
And I compared it to where I was at with Donald Trump. Uh-huh. I originally supported Marco Rubio.
Uh-huh.
So did Trey Gowdy. So did Tim Scott. So did Mike Pompeo.
Think about that, yeah.
And then, but you know what? Marco lost. And so we got behind the nominee and we voted for him. He ended up being, in my opinion, a great president. But I wasn't on his team get him elected. But I did vote for him. And I said publicly I was going to vote for him before the vote.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, at some point you got to hash that out. But it is a team sport, too.
Uh-huh.
You know, you get elected, you report to your constituents. But being in the House is a team sport.
Mm-hmm. I know it's fascinating stuff. Jason Chaffetz is in studio. The one thing I've laughed at is I've heard a lot of pundits make the case on TV that, you know, the Republicans got to wrap this up because the Democrats are calling us disorganized. And I'm like, that is the nicest thing they've ever said about us. I'm like, so we get a week off from being called white supremacist and fascist and a Hitler youth and anything in between. I'm like, who doesn't want a month of disorganized? This is we should send them a Hallmark card.
Gosh, and for the 2 years of the Democrats, are you kidding me? That's embarrassing in itself.
I know. Thank you. And I made this point on Twitter yesterday. It is not embarrassing to take 2 days or 5 days to pick a speaker. What's happening to the country right now is embarrassing. The border's embarrassing. Okay.
Yes.
The spending is embarrassing. Inflation's embarrassing. The end of the Afghan troop withdrawal was embarrassing.
Right.
Okay. I would talk to that with a lot more, you know, purpose than this, because I think outside of politics and people who analyze it on TV for a living, I don't think this story has a life a day beyond we select a speaker.
Totally agree.
All right.
2 weeks after, do you think anybody's going to look at
no.
their review? Those guys took 6 days.
All right. So then tell me this, because that's another part of the case, is they keep saying, well, we got to wrap this up because we got these investigations. What is the difference if they start on Friday or they start on Monday?
Well, I will tell you, one of the ramifications is we're about 2 months behind.
Okay.
The problem is when the benefit of picking the speaker or who the nominee is and being united the week after the election is then you go select your chairman.
Uh-huh.
Then you go select the members that will be on those committees.
Okay.
Then the members are able to hire the staff. And then when you get to January, the first week of January, you're up and ready to go.
Wow.
None of that has happened.
Well, nobody's even on LinkedIn yet, you're telling me.
Yes, nobody's the best way to say it. And so they got to go through all that process. Then they can issue the paperwork. Then they can do the subpoenas.
So all of you aspiring staffers have at least another week to scrub your social media. Just so Jason Chaffetz giving you an APB. Get those 12-foot liquor shots from Cancun in the grill off the profile. That drink with two straws in it that looks like a roller coaster. Real talk. So, just tell them like it is. But no, I find I really appreciate your honesty and your candor, because I've been watching everyone's attempt to cover this, and I see two different takes on it. I've found myself in kind of the Tucker camp of I find this enjoyable, first of all, because I don't think anyone in leadership should just be handed leadership.
Yeah, it's an open seat.
Yes. And that's what I mean. It's an open seat. As you said, we're basically giving this gig away to the person who sold the most interests in the country.
Yeah.
And I remember this. I remember when you were a congressman and you had transitioned to media, and you had said one of the reasons you left
was come up with a different word.
I know. I'm sorry. Yeah. I remember when you were working for Epstein. Yeah. You're like, much better, much more respected. Way better. Kidding. I remember you telling me that a lot of the job is just a perpetual fundraising exercise. Yeah. And if that is the case, you know, then we're really not operating with the people's interest in mind. So I, on some level, have to admire these holdouts. As you said, I can't group them all into the same intellectual class. But one of the things I heard Chip Roy saying, and I want you to see if you could speak to this, is, you know, a lot of what he was asking for were rules changes. And the fact that there was a rules committee dictating what did and didn't happen when it came to the passage of bill and debates and stuff like that, that they really didn't have a lot of control over under the current setup. Is that a valid critique by him? And is it something that could be addressed on the back end? Does it have to be addressed now?
Yes, okay. I do. There's the rules package, uh-huh, and then there's the rules committee. Two uh-huh totally separate things.
Okay.
The rules package is roughly 55 pages of how the House will operate.
Okay.
How many days will you have to review a bill? Those types of things. When a bill is moving through the process, the ultimate stop is the rules committee. They set the rules by which the House will debate. Usually they waive the rules that are part of the standing rules, and they come up with new rules.
That's crazy.
That's where the rub is. And that determines how many amendments are, how long you get to speak, how many amendments will be made in order, which amendments will be made in order.
Wow.
And so, you know, and it's a very small committee. I think there's six in the majority. And so if the rules committee is prestigious because you hold all the cards, and then you control the floor time.
Wow. That is unbelievable. I didn't – you see that? And so I think there are some valid critiques in that then.
Yes.
And like I admire that, because there's so much pressure in this day and age, you know, go along to get along. That on some level, I find this refreshing. I don't mind watching people squirm. Like when I hear we haven't done this in 100 years, that doesn't make me think this is bad. That makes me think the last 100 years were bad. I mean, in that we didn't properly vet leadership positions.
Well, yeah. So here's the thing. You only took one member to what's called vacate the chair. That is, have another vote on speaker. Yeah. Nobody really invoked it.
Yeah.
And so then all of Mark Meadows decided to threatened to invoke it on Boehner.
Uh-huh.
So Boehner said, look, I'll probably lose that vote. So he said, agreed to step down. And that's how we went through this process and ended up with Paul Ryan.
Wow.
Nancy Pelosi saw that and said, I'm not going through that. And so she changed the rule where you had to have like 50%.
Uh-huh.
And the only one that could call it had to be from leadership, an impossible threshold.
Yeah.
And now these people have come back and said, no, you got to be able to vacate the chair. I think they gave up too much. Kevin McCarthy did.
Uh-huh. And still might not get what he wants.
Well, I don't understand why you agree to 5 people to vacate the chair, but you don't. That doesn't bring you any votes. Why would you agree to that? Agree to anything.
It's fascinating.
Until you get to the point with, well, are you going to be a yes?
Should McCarthy have back-channeled a consulting deal where he hired Pelosi for tips on how to get through this? Because for all we say about her, yeah, I know. I know, but she was good at this. She was good at wrangling her party, was she not?
Oh, well, the reason she did is she raised the most amount of money in the history of the United States Congress, bar none.
Uh-huh.
She has raised more money. Uh-huh. And that's what she would do. She'd sit you down and she would say, I'm going to lock up all of your fundraising. You're not going to go anywhere. You're going to raise any money anywhere.
Wow.
And that's how she got them all in line for votes. She carried a big hammer.
It reminds me, there's a scene in Animal House at the beginning where he goes, if you mention extortion again, I'll have your legs broken. Pelosi.
Yes.
The heavy, but she got it done.
Yes.
I'm telling you, McCarthy, text Pelosi. She's retired. She's got time. Chaffetz, this was fantastic, man.
I love being on. Fun. And I really, I cannot tell you how much I appreciate you dressing up each time.
It's so funny because it's like, it's almost like a ventriloquist act, but I'm wearing the puppet shirt. This looks like the Howdy Doody.
You telling me you got a hand up your?
I'd say, listen, don't yuck my yum. Okay, we all got our own thing. The great Jason Chaffetz. We're back after this.
The show that's not afraid to hit the road.
The stars at night are big and bright.
Deep in the heart of Texas.
This is Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
It is Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla. Going to take a quick trip out to Los Angeles. My man Barry is on the line. Yo, Barry!
Jimmy, thanks for Jason Chaffetz. He was, I think he was spot on. And,
it was phenomenal. The candor. Yeah, go ahead.
The problem is the Democrats and the media are experts at exploiting things. They're exploiting this. They already labeled 20 of the 22 or 20 of the 20 election deniers.
Crenshaw called them terrorists. The Republican labeling has been worse than the Democratic.
No. Yes, I agree with you 100%. Crenshaw yesterday was ridiculous. He was worse than anybody. I agree. However, they don't understand that this will hurt them in the long run. Again, they're losing 20 to 200. That's all you're going to hear a year from now, come election
time. But you're
time.
Not, because they're not going to talk about it. When the election, Barry, I promise, and I'm respectfully just, I want to say this. No one is voting in 2 years in the 2024 election based on how long it took the Republicans to pick a speaker. They're going to be voting on the conditions in the country. No one votes on this. Everyone's a prisoner of the moment in the modern era of politics because of social media. These stories become so omnipotent that they're the only thing that matters till they don't matter. And this story won't matter a day beyond the selection of the speaker.
I disagree because they've exploited January 6th. They're going to do again.
January 6th, though, was like an attack at the Capitol. It's a different thing. OK, this is just voting to confirm a speaker. We've had contentious speaker debates, not like this, but no one votes on that. Listen, when Reagan said, ask yourself this question, are you better off now than you were 4 years ago? He didn't say, are you better off now than before it took the Republicans 5 days to pick a speaker? I'm just telling you, I respectfully disagree, but I do love you, and I'm not cutting you off. I'm getting cut off because it's the end of the hour. Call back anytime. This one's over. We're back in the next hour.
Live from everywhere USA, it's Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
Oh, girl. Here we go. Lacing them up for another big hour of Fox Across America that could very well include another big vote in the House of Representatives, because Kevin McCarthy has just failed in his seventh attempt to become Speaker. I mean, how many times does this go on? The current vote as we speak, McCarthy 159, Hakeem Jeffries 172. The other now has 18 votes, including one for Donald Trump to be Speaker of the House.
What the hell did you just say?
Matt Gaetz going rogue and voting for the man from Mar-a-Lago, who technically could be the Speaker of the House. That's the way this thing works. It does not have to be a member of Congress, nor should it be someone who has simply raised the most money from outside lobbyists. Okay, understand, as Jason Chaffetz very candidly said in the last hour, Jason Chaffetz was a member of Congress. Jason Chaffetz has voted for House speakers in the past. Jason Chaffetz is intimately familiar with how the process works. The thing they keep telling you over and over and over again is, oh, this is embarrassing because it hasn't happened once in the last 100 years that they took this many votes.
That is a fact check false.
No, what's embarrassing is that in the last 100 years, we haven't subjected the person in the leadership position to the level of debate and scrutiny that we are now. In the past 100 years, every year since 1923, the House Speaker position has gone to the person who has raised the most money.
He knows what he's talking about.
Kevin McCarthy is not the nominee
because people think he's like a savvy deal maker. He's not the nominee because they like his vision for the country. Kevin McCarthy is the nominee simply because outside interests that are trying to influence the way our leaders vote gave him more money than anybody else.
Correctamundo.
Okay, that's really not the qualification. That's not where the bar should be. Okay, the bar should not be who can get the biggest bar tab down on K Street when the lobbyists take everybody to Cafe Milano and they have a $6,500 bottle of wine and tell our politicians what to do with our taxpayer dollars. So I, for one, love this. I think it's amazing. I don't care if it goes on for another week because here's a news flash. The story ends the second we choose a speaker. Everybody telling you, oh, this is going to come back to bite the Republicans. No, it's not. You're not going to the polls. Well, yeah, you know, the inflation's bad. The border's out of control. The crime rate's through the roof. But more importantly, you know, it did take the Republicans 3 days to choose a speaker, so I'm voting Democrat. No, that's not how it works. Ronald Reagan asked, are you better now than you were 4 years ago? He didn't ask, are you better now than you were before the Republicans took 3 days to choose a speaker? The story doesn't matter. Here's the problem with the age of social media and the media omnipotence in our lives now. Everyone is a prisoner of the moment. Everybody believes the way we feel today is the only way we're ever going to feel because you can't get on your phone, you can't get on your computer, you can't go to a urinal at a restaurant without seeing the news of the day in front of you. It's all the most important story in the world till we're never going to talk about it again.
I think he's got a point.
Folks, there are 300 missing people on a Malaysian airliner that's been gone now for like 7 years. Has anyone brought that up to you in the last like five?
The answer would be no.
In the last three?
The answer would be no.
In the last two?
The answer would be no.
It doesn't matter what the story is. Doesn't matter if it's life or death. Doesn't matter if it's House Speaker. The point is our attention span is very finite because we live in a very aggressive, we have dialed it up to warp speed. And news stories do not stick around. They just don't. Okay, believe me, if they did, Biden wouldn't be president. We would have invoked the 25th Amendment. Okay, we've watched the guy talk to dead people. We've watched him shake hands with invisible people. I played you the clip earlier of him saying, you know, there's an old saying that America's a dog patch on the genes of other countries is what we said in my neighborhood. And everybody was like, what is going on here? This isn't good. Okay, but the point is, no matter what the story, no matter how big, no matter how small, it's all we'll ever focus on, again, as far as we're concerned in the moment. And then the moment ends and the circus leaves town. And that's where we are with House Speaker. If it takes another week, I don't care. And you want to know why I don't care? Because right now the position goes to whoever has sold out our interest the most. That's why Nancy Pelosi was Speaker and had the reign that she did. She could raise the most money. Okay? Kevin McCarthy could raise the most money. That is the superpower. But does raising that money help you and me?
The answer would be no.
No, because the money's not coming from people who want to help you and me. The money's coming from people who want to help themselves.
That's true. That is true.
And so as this drags on, the vote is now 204 for Jeffries, McCarthy at 181, Donalds has 17, Trump now has one to go with it. This is hilarious, if you ask me. Okay? To be clear, they could make Trump the Speaker of the House. They could do it right now. Okay, you don't have to be a member of Congress to get it. I'm not saying he's going to get the votes. I'm not saying it's a good idea. Okay, but you want to know what the best idea would be? It would be taking a guy, as I said yesterday, like Byron Donalds and giving him the gig because he's not a swamp rat. He is not beholden to every special interest group in the country. And on a superficial level, he does nullify the playing of the race card by the Democrats. They're going to play it. Okay, Cori Bush tweeted yesterday, and I'll get to her tweet in a minute because it's embarrassing. They're going to play it. They're going to say, oh, it's a token. This is the Cori Bush yesterday with a straight face said he is the a black man who supports white supremacy.
That's pitiful. I mean, it's absolutely pitiful to perform like that. Pitiful.
Let me read you this. This is bananas. Okay, this was her tweet. I mean, man, oh boy, oh man. Okay. So Cori Bush, remember the one who said she wanted to defund the police? And then got caught spending over $200,000 on her own police detail. Defund the police. You don't need them. Screw you. But, of course, she was going to continue to have them. And when she got busted, what did she say? Screw you.
I'm going to make sure I have security because I know I have had attempts on my life and I have too much work to do. There are too many people that need help right now for me to allow that. So if I end up spending $200,000, if I spend $10 more dollars on it, you know what? I get to be here to do the work. So suck it up, and defunding the police has to happen. We need to defund the police and put that money into social safety nets because we're trying to save lives.
What would you do with a brain if you had one?
Cori Bush is a shameless race-baiting idiot. It's not because of her race. It's not because of her gender. Stupid people come in all shapes and sizes. If you don't believe me, turn on The View.
The View is awful.
We'll get to them in a minute. But here's the Cori Bush tweet yesterday. Byron Donalds is not a historic candidate for speaker. He is a prop. Despite being black, he supports a policy agenda intent on upholding and perpetuating white supremacy. His name being in the mix is not progress. It's pathetic. Yo, dude, are you serious? Cori Bush is a clown. A straight clown. To say that. He's a black man who's here to perpetuate white supremacy. Byron Donalds come on my show all the time. Okay, I know I'm on the air. I know I'm off the air. Okay. He is a person who legitimately cares because he's new enough to Congress that they haven't tried to buy him out. I don't doubt that they've tried, but he ain't taking it. Okay. He wants a new day in Washington. But the reason Democrats are as racist and as disgusting as they are towards people like toward Byron Donalds is because he represents an existential threat to their monopoly on the black vote. Okay, that's the problem right now, is the Democrats have spent the last 50 years with an attitude of,
do you have a problem figuring out whether you're for me or Trump and you ain't black?
But unfortunately for them, enough prominent black conservatives have stepped forward to question what the Democrats have done for the black community.
Uh-oh, I'm in trouble.
Big trouble, because the answer to what the Democrats have done for the black community is absolutely nothing. Defund the police led to a 32% spike in the black murder rate. Does that sound like progress for the black community?
The answer would be no.
Did you know that 62% of the people laid off because of the vaccine mandate were members of the black community? Does that sound like progress?
The answer would be no.
Restaurant mandates, store mandates here in New York City, the vast majority of the unvaccinated people reside in the black community. Are we helping them by not allowing them to go shopping?
The answer would be no.
Okay, does a 40-year high in inflation help the black community?
The answer would be no.
The Democrats have done nothing for the black community, but take their support for granted. Okay, Byron Donalds is a guy who speaks to that reality, which is why every time he gets in front of a microphone, the Democrats... Okay, that's why he would be a perfect guy for the job. Reese knows things, though. Reese is in Sharon in Wyoming. He might be pro-McCarthy. You never know where it's going to go with Reese. Hey, buddy.
How you doing? Happy New Year's dittos to you, my friend.
My man.
Why the heck didn't you last more than 2 seconds on the bowl?
The record, all right, this is getting serious now. I'm going to post the video, Reese, because I have the video in my phone. I was on that bowl for like a legit 25 seconds. They just came back from break at the second I flew off of it, and they posted that as my score. It was a scam. Stop the steal.
Right.
Stop the steal, Reese. Okay, I will send you the video. That's it. Reese, you're the guy. I'm gonna out this once and for all. Go ahead.
Dude, I texted you.
Oh, so did you?
Send me the text of your video.
Well, I don't have that
number on
that's
national
not my phone. And it's not my phone number anymore. They did me dirty and I had to cancel that number the next morning. Dude, it got over 300,000 texts.
I bet you did. Yeah. Hey, listen, here's what I think. I think we gotta hold the line. So anybody that's listening, call your representative, hold the line, do not vote McCarthy. We got to save this country and drain the swamp.
Yep.
That's what the problem is with this country, is there's so many corrupt politicians everywhere you go. There's corrupt people on the Republican side, too. We just got to get rid of them. That's what I'm saying. We just got to get rid of them and get a new person that is, I guess, maybe a little bit more like Donald Trump, wants to drain the swamp.
Well,
that's
listen, this is the problem, though, because we all say that. Trump wants to drain the swamp, but McCarthy, the swamp creature, is his guy. That's the problem. As Matt Gaetz called him out for yesterday, he's like, I love Trump, but McCarthy is his worst HR decision in the history of his career. And it's true. The problem is, okay, he does want to drain the swamp, But the swamp, it's not going to be drained. So the way you need to do this is you need to get people in there that in the short term are not beholden to the swamp. That's where Trump was so valuable. It's not that he actually could drain the swamp. It's that he wasn't part of it. That's where Donald's would be so valuable. He's not part of it. So McCarthy has just lost again. Either way you slice it, I believe he's finished, Reese. And if he goes to the vote an eighth time, he's a crazy person. He's disqualified himself. So I appreciate your wisdom, and you can look forward to seeing a video of me on that bull for 25 seconds in the very near future.
Boy, I hope so, because it was a shame to see you on the limb there for 2 seconds. You got beat by so many people. That was sad.
You want to know something, Reese? If you want to go full bow, because I tell you things you shouldn't know, okay?
Yes, sir.
Cole Hauser, who plays Rip on the show Yellowstone, is the guy who showed me how to work the bull, because I was going to be controlling the mechanical bull when Will Kane wrote it. Okay, so after getting my little tutorial on how to work the bull, I got on it to ride myself, and I was watching the end of the Ohio State-Georgia game on the cameraman's cell phone. I was watching it because Jenny's family's a bunch of big Buckeyes, and we were watching the game at the very second they turned on the bull. Now, to my credit, I really did, and I have a video of this, I really did stay on the bull for like 25 seconds, but as they panned into it from commercial, I was flying off the bull. In theory, what you saw on TV was less than 2 seconds. But I have the actual proof. These are like the JFK files. I'm going to release them in 50 years, and everyone's going to be brought to justice, okay?
Well, you know, Jimmy, you probably ought to just post that on your Facebook page just to, you know, settle the score. So
all right, listen, everyone can blame Reese for this, but it's coming. All right, good talk. I'm glad we could put the scandal in our rearview mirror once and for all. Happy New Year. The great Reese, listen, this is the one problem, because I love Reese, and as far as that, I will post the video because it's really funny of me flying off the bull. If you didn't see it, you actually should see it. But in truth, you're going to look at it and go, that wasn't 2 seconds. It was probably like 25 seconds. I did a better job than I'm getting credit for. I don't care. I mean, my job is there to entertain and be a comedian and make fun of myself, so I don't care. But Reese sure does, and if you're in Wyoming, you're in Sheridan, Wyoming, you're listening on KROE, or, you know, you're out there, you know, you do want your radio host to be able to ride a bull. I mean, they teach you that at like the age of 2 in Wyoming. So I understand where Reese could be feeling a little let down. But no one is letting us down harder than Kevin McCarthy right now. And we're going to spend some more time on that after this on Fox Across America.
The show that leaves you without hope or change.
I'm telling you, man, this stuff will poison your mind.
This is Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
Oh, girl, it is Fox Across America with your main man, Jimmy Failla, keeping tabs of this House vote. Boy, oh, man, oh, boy, the final score this time around. Hakeem Jeffries, 212. Kevin McCarthy, 201. Byron Donalds picks up 19. Donald Trump picks up a vote along the way for good measure.
You're about to hear the greatest speech you've ever heard.
Well, I don't know that he's accepting the position. It's only one vote. He needs to get the 218. He's pretty far away. But you know who else is really far away? Kevin McCarthy. Okay, I keep hearing brilliant analysts. Britt Hume said this last night. I trust Britt Hume's judgment, understanding, and interpretation of the inner workings of Washington better than anybody. And I don't know the guy. Okay, I've had him on the show once. He was brilliant. I thought he was really funny. But I've been watching him. I've been watching him, you know, for decades. I mean, Britt Hume worked at other networks, you understand. He's been covering covering politics in Washington since Reagan. Okay, Britt Hume knows his stuff. And I form opinions of people based on their record. Like, I watch him. Oh, he's right about that. Oh, he's smart about that. Oh, I never thought about it that way. Like, Britt Hume, okay, really gets it. And one of the things I heard him say last night was a very simple analogy that resonated with me. Britt Hume said last night, he said, you know, being House Speaker, you got to get the votes. It's like wrangling cats. When you're House Speaker, you know, wrangling votes is like wrangling cats. OK, Kevin McCarthy has just let the cats get away 7 different times.
That can't be good.
No, he's gone to the floor without the votes 7 different times.
You gotta do better than that.
Okay, for whatever you think of Nancy Pelosi, and we spoke to this earlier with Jason Chaffetz, Nancy Pelosi was good at her job. She was famous for a quote in which a reporter asked her, hey, are you worried you're not going to have the votes tomorrow? And she said, I wouldn't be going to the floor if I didn't
have the votes, meaning, no, I'm not nervous because I took care of this already. Okay, so in the history of her career, okay, she probably never went to the floor once without the votes, ever, because she was the top fundraiser in her party. She did have that leverage. McCarthy, also the top fundraiser in his party, which is why he's in line to get the position, has now gone to the floor without the votes 7 different times.
This could be a problem.
It's a big problem. And I got to be honest with you. Donald's didn't increase his support. Okay, Matt Gaetz cartoonishly now voting for Trump. We had one present vote. So Jeffries is stuck at 212. McCarthy's stuck at 201. And this isn't about to resolve itself anytime soon. And the truth is, I think, you know, you can't group everybody the same, as Chaffetz said. Some of these people just flat out hate McCarthy and they do not trust him and they won't vote for him no matter what he concedes. That is true. There are people like Chip Roy that want legitimate front-end concessions to the Rules Committee because they want to be in a position to affect how we draft legislation, read legislation, before we actually vote on legislation. Think about it. Chip Roy is being labeled a domestic terrorist by the Dan Crenshaws of the world, that pandering idiot. Why? Because Crenshaw wants the status quo, which is what? Whoever donates the most money gets to determine who the House Speaker is. House Speaker for the last 100 years has gone to the person that has raised the most money. Okay? Not the most support from you and me. Okay, but the most money. And they were able to say to the people within their own party, hey, you got to make me House Speaker or I'm not giving you any cash for your campaign. At which point they were like, oh, please, Mr. Fundraiser, fine, here's my vote. There you go. Okay, but thankfully, we have some people out there that said, hey, you can take your money and you can shove it up. And I'm holding out. And that's why we are where we are. Personally, I think it's great. It is Fox Across America with your main man, Jimmy Failla. We are taking this show back on the road in February. This week, I'm just here doing TV. You'll see me on the Sean Hannity Show tonight, 9 o'clock Eastern Time on the East Coast. I will also be on the Hannity Show tomorrow night at 9 o'clock on the East Coast. Me and Hannity make it a double. Remember Ernie Banks, It's a Nice Day, Let's Play 2? It's a nice week, Let's Play 2. So me and Hannity will be doing some TV. It'll be box office gold. It'll be a ratings bonanza is what it'll be for the channel. Wow, that's a lot of tough love out of the control room today. But this show in February, I will be at the Carson Nugget in Carson, Nevada. That is Saturday night, February the 4th. That is one night. You can come down, watch the show, smoke a cigar in the lounge with me and Dean. I'm sure Clay's out there somewhere. It'll be great. We're doing a double show that night. The following February 17th and 18th, I will be at the Fat Cats Comedy Club up in Utica. Shout out to WIBX. We'll be doing our show from there on Friday the 17th. And then we head out west. I mean, seriously out west. We go to Seattle. March the 3rd, we'll be at the Federal Way Performing Arts and Events Center. March the 4th, we'll be in Sacramento at the Crest Theater. And then in April, we will be in Bend, Oregon at the Tower Theater. April 8th, we'll be at the Egyptian Theater in Boise, Idaho. And April 21st and 22nd, we will be at Bananas in Bergen, New Jersey. Come hang out on the East Coast if you want to see me do a local date. Of course, all of this subject to change if I become Speaker of the House, because right now we have just gone through a 7th consecutive vote of McCarthy not getting it done. Okay, not good. You know, what do they say? The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. They're about to have an 8th vote.
You're a loony.
That's what you'd think. But let's talk to Gail, who is in Las Cruces, New Mexico, who knows better than I do about everything in life. Yo, Gail.
Hey, bud. How are you?
You know, man, I'm getting a kick out of this because they keep saying, oh, we haven't done it in 100 years. Well, for that alone, I want it to go on. I don't like anything we've done in Washington in the last 100 years. Why not?
Yeah, this is true. But I hope you can loan me Mikey for a while because I want to research how I put my hat in the ring for Speaker of the House. Listen, the only campaign I ever ran was for high school class president, and I got two votes, mine and my best friend's, which is one more than Donald Trump got in the seventh ballot. You know, plus I'm on Social Security. Mm-hmm. My income is capped at about $56K, so they get me for 2 years at $112,000. That's bargain basement, right?
Love
compared
it.
To what McCarthy's earning right now.
Yeah, well, I'm
but
just go
plus,
ahead.
Plus, mm-hmm. no lobbyist is going to give me money. If there's somebody coming to meet me and there's money involved, they're bill collectors, right? So I'm going to be beholden to no one. Mm. I'm the perfect candidate. No. I'm really hoping you'll step aside and back me on that.
I actually am willing to throw my weight behind you based on what you said. There's just one fatal flaw to your logic. If I loan you Mikey, you're going to need a lot more than $112K to pay the bar tab. The issue.
Mikey, are you going to let him talk to you?
Yes, he is. Oh. Yeah, yes, he. Mikey, you shut your mouth. I'm kidding. He's a good sport. No, Mike, you want to know, I give Mikey a hard time. He's a young guy. He's not a big drinker. Like, he's not actually a guy that goes out and has 35 drinks. The reason I actually make fun of him is because, I don't know if you remember this about being young, but he doesn't drink the same drink twice. So Mikey will have, like, he'll have a glass of wine, then he'll have a beer, then he'll have, like, a mimosa, then he'll have, like, a fuzzy navel, then he'll have a shot of tequila. And I'm like, Mikey, what are you doing?
And he wonders why he leaves the bar alone.
Mikey just said, how do you know what I did on New Year's? I got spies, Mikey. We're tailing him. Gail, from what I've heard, you're in the lead. From what I heard, you are in the lead. I'm going to text Matt Gaetz and tell him to vote for you next time around. Let me know how it goes.
Okay, bud.
If you get the gig, I want to tour the Capitol. It'd be nice to be invited in. So we'll do it. See you, buddy.
That'd be great.
The great Gale. There he goes. Las Cruces, New Mexico, says he should be the guy. Alex is local. He's in Brooklyn. I want to see what he says. Yo, Alex.
You know, Boebert might vote for me someday. I mean, she keeps on changing her mind. So,
Let's talk about this. I think Boebert, you know, is one of the people who just won't vote for McCarthy no matter what he says. There are people who personally don't like him, don't trust him. Yeah, I agree with that. They're not voting for him no matter what the concession is. That's my takeaway at this point. Because Gaetz now voting for Trump is just cartooning the process. He's nominated Jordan. He's voted for Donalds. He now voted for Trump. So to me,
it's insane.
Yes, it is to that regard insane. Yeah. But I guess what their plan is, because I know you said you don't think they have the plan. I actually do think they have a plan. I think the plan is block McCarthy. I think the plan is anybody but McCarthy. I think they know.
Right.
This has been. We have a lot of time, so I'm going to give you a lot of time. I just want to submit this to the record. Chaffetz said earlier, there's probably a lot more people than this 20 that don't want McCarthy, but they don't want to go on record as doing so. So they're letting these people give them cover. But the minute he said McCarthy's speakership nomination is withdrawn, you could very well see an avalanche to whoever the next guy is, if it's a guy like Chip Roy or if it's a guy like Byron Donalds. So I think there is a plan. The plan is to kill McCarthy and give the people who want him to go down too, you know, a chance to come vote for another candidate. They're not going to do it as long as McCarthy is on the ballot because they don't want to be called domestic terrorist and obstructionist. That's what I think the plan is. What do you think?
Well, that's a good point. But do you see any scenario where McCarthy backs down? I don't see him doing that because then he loses the battle. He loses for good. His entire political career is basically over. This is what he was dreaming of since he entered the Congress.
Well,
this was, you know, his plan in 2015, I think he tried to become the speaker, right?
Yes. But the truth is, I do see a withdrawal coming, and the only reason I see it is because you won't see one from the other people. You won't see the Chip Roys. You won't see the Donalds. You won't see the Boeberts. They're not going to come. I don't think they're going to come around, and they have that power, for better or for worse, to affect change in Washington. Understand, like, the one thing about the speaker gig is it is a scam. It goes to whoever raises the most money, and you don't raise the most money from you and me. You raise the most money from special interests, the very problem.
From the corporation.
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely.
So it's like whoever can sell us out the hardest.
The only reason why Mitch McConnell had, you know, the reason why he became the minority leader in the Senate is only because of the money. Not a single person in that Senate likes him. Mm-hmm. It's just because they know he gave them the money. I mean, he gave out millions of dollars in this midterm election because he's tied up with the corporations.
Yep.
And nobody likes that person. But you know what? If these people really, like Boebert and Matt Gaetz, really care about, you know, solving stuff and getting, you know, some commitment. appointments, because what's going to happen is, right, according to you, Kevin McCarthy leaves, and then they'll get someone like Scalise, right? Scalise is not much different than McCarthy.
No, it's going to be Scalise.
He's very moderate.
I don't think they'd confirm Scalise either. I think they want Byron Donalds. I think they want Chip Roy. That's what I think they want.
Yeah, but I don't think the establishment Republicans are going to go for Byron Donalds or Chip Roy.
Maybe not at the moment, but I think this is the where you punch the establishment in the nose and say, hey, people wanted change in Washington. They didn't want they didn't give us the power of the purse so we could vote for an omnibus spending bill. And the Senate people in the Senate did that. You know, they sold out. They sold out the voters. And I think
the Senate is not Kevin McCarthy.
No, I'm aware. But
I find it insane.
Well, I don't, because this is the thing. McCarthy is part of that brain trust. He is part of the McConnell. He is part of the establishment leadership. That's the problem.
Right.
So it's not on him that it happened, but it's the fact that it happened is why they don't trust him. That's basically what it is. But honestly, I think this is going to go on for a few more days. I don't think this is
a few more days only. It looks
I know.
Like a stalemate situation. How do we finish this?
It could.
You know, establishment Republicans are not going to go for Matt Gaetz or for anyone that these 20 Republicans really want, because you know, these, like, Matt Gaetz is not with the corporations. He's not the one.
It won't be
Gaetz.
Gaetz can't get it. It wouldn't be Gaetz in a second. It wouldn't be
Gaetz. Wouldn't be Byron Donalds.
No, it might be. Byron Donalds would surprise you, because he's that. I'm telling you, he's that well connected in Washington in terms of people appreciate his aptitude. And they do see him as a future franchise quarterback. Like, Byron Donalds is a guy that could be president someday. He's young now.
Yeah, he's good. He knows how to talk. He's a good guy.
And he takes a lot away from
Democrats. What do you think about the ramifications that are, you know, going to come from this in terms of the MAGA movement for the primary in 2024 for people that are endorsed by Trump?
I think the longer this goes on, the worse it is for Trump, because McCarthy is Trump's guy. And the fact that since Trump tweeted Truth Social, everyone get behind McCarthy, McCarthy has now officially lost a vote. He hasn't gained one. So people are not afraid to stand up to Trump. And I think the longer this goes on, the worse it is for him. Now, overnight's a lifetime in politics. That could change tomorrow. But, I mean, we're kidding ourselves. If you thought there was a world a year ago where 20 Republicans would say no to Trump, and one of them was Matt Gaetz, you know what I'm saying? Matt Gaetz was, you know, is as Trumpy as they come. So it's very interesting, man.
Yeah, Lambert is the same story.
It's
something you would never imagine, the kind of situation we find ourselves in. But you know what? At least they're not spending money for a couple of
days. Thank you. Thank you, Alex. Yep. Drag it out for another month. We'll save some cash. Good call, buddy. Good stuff, my man. I'll see you soon. My man, John, is out in Butte, Montana. Yo, John.
Hey, brother. How you doing? Happy New Year.
You know what? I was going to say this to you. I saw a guy this morning on the subway with 2023 glasses on. Now, is he, like, really enthusiastic about the new year, or is he still just out from Saturday night?
He's still drunk.
New York is back. New York is back.
He ain't even sobered up yet. He's still trying to figure out where the heck he's going.
I gotta go find him. He was on the F train. He was apparently pretty effed up on the F train by your logic. Let's talk about that. Who's the new speaker?
Buddy, there's two names that I would throw out there. One would be Lisa Elden.
Okay.
The other one is Mikey.
There's two votes for Mikey. Now, what is the rationale for Mikey? Go ahead.
Okay, because if you really got to think about it, man, look at everything he's got to do for you. All the crap you keep giving him, and that man still smiles, laughs, and has a really good time. I'm surprised he ain't poked you in the rear end with a stick yet.
Well, I'm into that. That's why he won't give me the joy. I'm kidding. Stick with me. I'm kidding. I'm being silly. Now, Mikey, I think, would admit, Mikey, get on the mic for this for a second and school John. I think for whatever amount of craziness I am, I must be like the easiest radio talent to work for in the world. Am I not? I mean, I want to think so, right? Am I up there?
Of course. I tell people that all the time.
I am pretty reasonable. Now, Josh, you've worked with far more hosts. I will not hold it against you. Am I reasonable to work for? I would like to think.
On the monster level, you're way, way, way down low.
Okay.
Yeah, you're fine.
Okay. You need to know, John. You know how they say, like, a woman needs a friend who will tell them their butt looks big in those pants? You need to have that moment once in a while. Well, thank you for that, fellas. But no, I am pretty low maintenance. I think, Mikey, here's the thing. He actually could drain the swamp. He would drink it. That's the problem. So I don't know that he'd be a very effective House Speaker. He'd be like the guy with the 2023 glasses on. But I like where your head is at.
It's either, it's either the 2023 glasses or he's going to be the one sitting over there with a gavel and a scotch in his hand going, all right, now what?
It's like we got Boehner back. I see what you're going for. It's nostalgia is what you're after. Ah, John.
I'm telling you.
It's nuts. I'm enjoying this. I know there's a lot of people that are traditional political analysts that are losing their minds because this is unprecedented. But it shouldn't be unprecedented. If someone is going to be second in line to the presidency, why shouldn't the application process stretch out a few days? I mean, I was the head writer on a business show. It's a great job. I loved it. I had about four interviews before I got the gig. Are you telling me second in line to the presidency doesn't come with a second interview?
Well, here's the thing.
Okay.
Is that when you really look at it, you've got a job like that. Pretty much the most powerful person in Congress at that point in time. I would expect somebody to turn around and at least dig into everything, find out where they stand. My understanding is that the 20 people that are holding out on them, not all of them have an actual reason besides the disdain for McCarthy. I mean, I don't see that as a justification to hold out on.
Mm-mm.
You've got valid complaints.
Yeah.
Valid,
well, I'll play some of Chip Roy. Yeah, I'll play some of Chip Roy in the next break then, and you can hear it. Because Chip Roy speaks to the specifics of what they want, which is rule changes and process changes that it doesn't sound like they're getting on the front end. But they're going to have to get something, you know, because if McCarthy is not withdrawing, then he has to make some pretty big concessions at this point. So it's going to be interesting to see how it goes.
If he keeps giving in to more concessions, then he doesn't have a leg to stand on.
Yeah, there's that too. I mean, again, if this job is all about the ability to bring the party together, he's 0 for 7. It's not a great way to get into town, John. You know a lot about getting into town. Maybe you got to send some lot lizards down to the Capitol. I don't know what to tell you, buddy. Save some for the rest of us, pal. I'll see you soon.
All right, we'll definitely do.
Happy New Year. You're the best, buddy. There he goes, the great John. There we go back after this.
The critics have spoken.
It's a mess. It's a mess.
This is Fox Across America.
It is Fox Across America with Jimmy Fallon. And the news is not all bad. Doctors are giving an update on DeMar Hamlin of the Buffalo Bills. He is awake, he is alert, and he wanted to know if the Bills won the football game. That is amazing. It's a great teammate. It's a great guy. It's a great day. And I am so happy for him and his family. I am happy for the professional football world. I'm happy for professional football fans. And I'm happy for America. This was a good look for everybody who got involved and donated to his toy drive, pulled together and prayed for the guy, and refrained from trying to politicize the situation. You know, there were some people online that I was yelling at for trying to make this about the vaccine. And then there were people on the other side of this just flat out saying, you know, we should ban football. That's what they said on The View.
The View is awful.
It really is. But in the next hour, I am going to play you a clip from The View commenting on this story.
No, God! No, God, please, no! No! No!
Gotta do it, folks, okay? I always say Fox Across America, it's our family meeting. I am the deadbeat dad at the head of this little dinner table. And if I've got to go through this as part of my day, you kids are going to have to hear about it when I come home. That's just how it works. It's how it worked in my house. Smoking Joe Fallon, my daddy'd be out fighting crime and come home and I locked up this guy today. That was a little bank robbery today. I thought it was fascinating, you know. And then we'd get to go around the table and talk about what we did. And, you know, Sue studied hard and, you know, Joey was working out and Mike was playing ball. And then I'd be like, oh, I was behind the shed with a chick. And
what the hell did you just say?
I have been whatever you are listening to. And I'm really proud and happy to have a chance to share myself with you, my insanity. I have been conversing and living at this level of whatever my intellectual know-how happens to be since I was 5. So when you hear me on the radio, a lot of you don't know who I am. You're just kind of getting to know me. This is not like the meteoric rise of some showbiz personality. This is the opposite. This is the downhill slide of a child prodigy. Like at the age of 5, if you sounded like I do right now, you'd be like, wow, that's a pretty sharp 5-year-old. Okay, but at my age right now, you sound like me. Everybody's like,
have you ever had a checkup?
But the point is, we're having a good time. And no, I'm not having the checkup because I know immediately the way this I know how this ends. If you think Biden's worried about the 25th Amendment, whoa, they will have me out of here in no time. But I will be replaced in the next hour by Diamond Dave Landau. I will continue to host the show, but he will be the ranking comedian as he's coming on as a guest to tell us about his new web series, Normal World, plug a couple of stand-up dates, and talk about the fact that a Virginia school district, following in the footsteps of other school districts around the country, in eliminating their honors programs because they don't think it's equitable to salute the kids who are the high achievers because it might make, you know, the underachievers feel bad. Hey, how about instead of, I don't know, tearing down the smart kids, how about we, I don't know, maybe build up the dumb kids?
I admire your honesty.
Well, there's not a lot of it left in the world, but I'll continue to dish some of it out in the next hour with Diamond Dave Landau, your calls, text, tweets, carrier pigeons, the whole shebang shaboo. We're doing it. It's a plus size hour, as I say. An embarrassment of radio riches awaits you on the other side of this break, right here on the Big Bad, one and only Fox Across America.
Live from everywhere USA, it's Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
It is Fox Across America with your main man, Jimmy Failla, your radio buddy, reachable to you, the listener, at 888-788-9910. As we begin the third hour of this broadcast, the Republican Party beginning the eighth round of voting in the House of Representatives. Kevin McCarthy, Hakeem Jeffries, Byron Donalds receiving votes. Trump got a vote in the last ballot. Is McCarthy going to get there on this go-round?
The answer would be no.
He will be 0 for 8, is how it appears. A lot of people squirming in Washington. They're like, this is an outrage. I don't believe it. But I love this sort of thing. Okay, we are supposed to be. You know, anybody's like, if you're like a Trump guy, and make America great again, drain the swamp, the establishment, you should love this. Yes, they are defying Trump's wishes. Trump wants McCarthy. But the MAGA people, like the Matt Gaetz people, the Lauren Boebert people, they don't want McCarthy because they think he's too establishment. And to be clear, Trump has a really bad hiring record in the fact that he's hated a lot of people he hired. I mean, Jeff Sessions was his first attorney general. He trashed them the whole time until he was finally like,
get him out of here. Get him out.
I mean, he's fired everybody. He bashes Mike Pence. He bashes Bill Barr. He bashes everybody. Okay, he's a very transactional guy. And Matt Gaetz, to his credit, said, I love Donald Trump, but he has a terrible HR record. And you don't have to like Matt Gaetz. Matt Gaetz is not going to be the Speaker of the House. Matt Gaetz is there to be a disruptor. Matt Gaetz, for whatever you think of him, okay, he was kind of banished from polite media society when he was accused of hooking up with a 17-year-old girl. He ultimately wasn't charged for that. But that was the accusation. The accusation came at the same time a man was arrested and ultimately convicted for trying to basically hold the Gaetz family hostage to try to extort $35 million out of Matt Gaetz, claiming they were doing so, okay, to go out and help free a American held hostage in Iran by the name of Bob Levinson. And that is where the story got personal for me. A lot of you don't know this. I grew up down the house from Bob Levinson. He grew up where I grew up in Levittown. He raised his daughters. We called them Huffy and Stephanie. Those weren't their real names, but I'm still in touch with them to this day. They were the girls who hung out of my house. They had a Smurf clubhouse in their backyard. Levinson had gotten his daughters this giant mushroom because the Smurfs were a hit show when we were kids, and we all used to hang out in that little Smurf clubhouse and, you know, play games and hide and seek and, you know, spin the bottle. And
hubba, hubba.
Things went on, okay? I'm not proud. But that was like a very formidable time in my youth. So I have an affinity for Bob Levinson. And there were some dirtbags who tried to extort Matt Gaetz under the guise of, hey, we're really desperately trying to rescue Bob Levinson. Give us $35 million and we won't tell the public you were hooking up with underage girls. Now, the media ran with the story. What part of the story do you think they ran with? The one where a guy was trying to extort him for $35 million? Or the one where they said, hey, we're accusing you of hooking up with underage girls. If you picked underage girls, come on down. Okay, they ran with, half the story.
The media is a bunch of losers.
Now, I'm not here to give Matt Gaetz the Man of the Year award. I'm just telling you that was the scam, and that's what ultimately got him banned from polite society and the media. You don't see a lot of him. He's not formally banned. The point is there is an uneasiness based on that story. Okay, nobody wants to bring on a guy who's accused of doing something reprehensible, you know, unless the guy's donating to the Democratic Party, which Matt Gaetz is not doing. Sam Bankman-Fried just robbed everybody of their life savings, but he got two meetings at the White House along the way. Did you read about that yesterday? No, the media doesn't cover it. But he's the biggest donor in the Democratic Party next to George Soros, is the guy who's probably going to do life in prison for stealing everybody's life savings. He's Bernie Madoff Jr., but he donated to climate change and he donated to inclusion and diversity and everything in between. And of course, they took his money. Nobody was asleep at the wheel. They were awake at the ATM. They were getting that money, girl. Okay, so in this instance, as Matt Gaetz continues to hold the process hostage, I do want you to understand one of the reasons why. Gaetz used to come on this show a fair amount, and one of the reasons he was so hated in Washington by the establishment is because he would let you stand behind the magician in Congress and explain how things work. And what I mean by that is, if you remember Congress, okay, the House was dragging in Facebook executives. They were dragging in Jack Dorsey at the time, who owned Twitter. They were dragging in, Mark Zuckerberg and plugging him into the wall and charging up his batteries because he's an actual robot. But they were bringing him in and they were questioning him about the role social media played in interfering in elections and censoring content. And what did Matt Gaetz say on our show? He's like, oh, Jimmy, all of these investigations are fake. They hold these investigations because they want the American people to think they're fighting for them in the swamp. He said, but the minute the investigations are over and everybody gets their 20-second soundbite, they all go out to dinner. They all go out to lunch with the same people they were questioning.
This is politics as usual.
That's all it is. Okay, if they're not going out with the person they were questioning, they're going out with their representative of the person they were questioning.
This is politics as usual.
You're damn right it is. Okay, to Gaetz's credit, I don't need you to like him. I don't care. Okay, but the point is, he was willing to call BS on a lot of the establishment shenanigans that are perpetrated by the Uniparty. The Uniparty being the upper echelons of both political parties who want the same thing. And it's not for your life to get better. It's for them to remain in power forever.
I'm telling you, that boy's a genius.
A genius. So as this thing drags out, you need to understand that the holdouts are not about to cave. Because they know on the other side of this, they have no reason to trust leadership that says, no, this time around is going to be different. We're going to fight hard. We're going to represent the American people.
Come on, don't bullshit me.
Honestly. And the only case we're getting to vote for McCarthy is what? Do it or you're a terrorist. You're the worst. You're a domestic terrorist. You're embarrassing us. You're embarrassing us. This isn't embarrassing. Embarrassing is being the party in charge of the country right now. That's tanked the economy, opened up the border, spiked the crime rate, left Afghanistan and $85 billion of our weapons behind along the way, gotten pushed around on the world stage by China. That's embarrassing. Okay? We were energy independent when Biden took office. We're not energy independent anymore. That was our own decision. Okay? That's embarrassing. Killing the Keystone Energy Pipeline. So we were basically just sacrificing 10,000 American jobs at the altar of environmental virtue signaling. That's embarrassing. Saying you're here to protect democracy. That's embarrassing. Saying that Georgia's voter ID law was Jim Crow on steroids. That's embarrassing. Taking 3 or 4 days to pick a speaker means nothing to nobody, including you. Okay, the minute it's over, business as usual in Washington. That business, of course, being them selling out the country and your interests. The longer it takes, in my opinion, the better off we're all going to be. But I digress. I warned you before the break there'd be a clip from The View. In fact, I feel like I threatened you. Okay, the clip from The View comes on the heels of some very good news. Damar Hamlin, Buffalo Bills defensive back we've all been playing for, 24-year-old young man who had a heart attack on the field after a hit threw off the rhythm of his heart on Sunday. So far as we know, there will be more information. There will be more details released. But we are happy to report that Damar Hamlin, thankfully by the grace of God, has seemingly pulled through. He is awake. He is communicating with his teammates. And doctors say his neurological function is intact. Thank God. Okay, that did not stop The View from talking about it. I'm going to play you one of their clips.
I got a bad feeling about this.
Do you ever have a good feeling when it comes to The View? Here is Joy Behar explaining what the problem with football is.
Only 45% of Americans think that tackle football is appropriate. Wow. Heterosexual men voted the most support for kids doing football. Mm-hmm. And conservatives were more likely to support youth tackle football. Just saying.
I mean, Joy Behar, just...
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Just idiots. Just idiots. So the concern here is we can't have football because white men like it. Heterosexual men like it. That's no good. Okay, conservatives like youth tackle football. That's enough. The conservatives, like, we just oppose it on the merits. Folks, let's start here, okay? Sometimes there's not a side. Okay, there's just a story. There's just a tragedy. Everything doesn't have to be cut in two. Okay, but that's what this is a byproduct of. Well, all right, football happened. So what do we do? What's the Republican angle? Okay, we're against that. Just the same as I was screaming at Republicans who were blaming this on the vaccine. You don't know the vaccine caused this. You have no data. Rushing in while a guy was fighting for his life and weaponizing your anti-vaccine narrative is reckless, it's disgusting, and it's the same thing we always get mad at Democrats for doing with gun control. Whenever there's a shooting, within an hour, there's a Democrat on social media, it's usually within 5 minutes, saying, it's the NRA's fault, it's the gun owner's fault, it's the Republicans' fault. And we go, dude, number one, don't politicize a tragedy. Number two, you don't know, so shut up. Okay, sometimes there doesn't have to be a side. Sometimes a tragedy should be afforded the grace and the dignity, okay, of coping, of unfolding, of being dealt with, you know, or in this case, of fighting for their lives. Damar Hamlin has fought for his life with the help of some incredible paramedics and seemingly won. But The View wants you to believe it's time to ban football. Why? Because conservatives support it. But here's a newsflash. You know who football supports? Are you ready for it? Minorities. Okay, 76% of the NFL is black. Okay, when you throw in the coaches and you throw in the staffs, okay, that number rises just a little. Not a ton of black head coaches in the NFL, but some very good ones. Okay, being in the NFL is like one of the highest paying jobs in the history of this country. Okay, people are getting rich beyond all believable bounds. So this is another example of people taking a dopey, intellectually lazy activist position on behalf of people who didn't ask for one. Like, you know who didn't want to defund the police? Are you ready for it? Are you ready? Hold it together. Black people.
I think he's got a point.
When they polled black people in the summer of 2020 and they said, hey, do you want to defund the police? They were like, hell no. What are you, nuts? What do you mean? Is this a do-it-yourself job now when crime happens? Nobody comes? Wait, what? But the Democrats were advancing in a narrative, white Democrats, that the police were a bigger threat to the community than the criminals.
That's stupid. Use your common sense.
But they got out there and said it every day. The cops are racist. They give you any numbers to support the cops being racist?
The answer would be no.
Nope, none at all.
Get some facts and come back and see me.
No, they don't. They have no facts. Zero facts. Zip facts. They just emotion. Bullying. Emotional social pressure campaigns. You like the cops? You're a racist. Okay, great. So I guess we'll have no more cops and more black people will die. The black murder rate is up 32% since the defund the police movement. Joy Behar, to show how, you know, caring and considerate she is about this poor black defensive back, Damar Hamlin, who is heroically battling through, you know, a trauma, a life-threatening event, that we should just ban the sport that's allowing him to support his family. Oh, that's great. That seems like you care about Damar Hamlin. Ban the sport that has given him a media platform so vast that the tragedy that has unfolded before our eyes has resulted in what? His toy drive for underprivileged kids, many of whom are minorities, going from $2,500 raised to over $4 million raised. Okay? Think about that. So Damar Hamlin's, you know, misfortune has resulted in $4 million for underprivileged kids. Joy Behar says, now make that go away, because she's apparently looking out for these underprivileged kids.
What an idiot.
Okay, The View is weapons grade stupid. Do you know that this year alone, in the year 2022 anyway, they had 36 legal notes issued by the producers of the show legally correcting false statements made on the show that would have gotten them sued? Why? because these are stupid people. They go on the air. They take big emotional positions with no grasp whatsoever of what they're talking about. They're just selling self-righteousness to a lot of gassy middle-aged women who show up and applaud for Whoopi and Joy while they hate each other between commercials, to be told that they know better than some goober conservative in podunk middle of the flyover states. I got news for you. If you're living in the flyover states, you are a genius. You have an affordable cost of living. Your property taxes are a lot lower. You don't have to worry about walking out of your house with the kids in the morning and seeing some weirdo with no pants on. Yeah, welcome to New York. We're not the flyover states. We're the drive-over states. We're driving over needles. Okay, we're driving over all kinds of filth and trash. And when we're not driving to avoid the hobbit running after us in the road, we're calling you guys idiots in the middle of the country. I know better, but nobody on The View does. These people are embarrassing, okay? But we're living in a death of shame. No, no, we got to ban football. That's what we got to do. Wait, what? Yeah, because that'll help the black community. Do you understand how much good football has done? Do you know what professional sports as a whole have done? Never mind that as a country, it's supposed to give us common culture where we can put our political differences aside for 2 hours and just go be Americans. But Joy Behar doesn't want that either, which is, I got to be honest with you, comical to me, because for somebody who hates football, she has the build of an offensive lineman.
The show that's standing up to Big Tech.
Get those nerds!
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 You're listening to Fox Across America.
Oh, girl. Kevin McCarthy has just gone down an eighth time on the speaker ballot. I'm not kidding. Their voting is underway. During this commercial break, welcome back to Fox Across America. This is the eighth attempt to get McCarthy over the hump. The definition of insanity, of course, being doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. They have now done this eight times. Eight times. It has not worked out, much to the chagrin of the Uniparty in Washington.
The government's going to jump all over your head, Jimbo.
Do you understand? The Democrats want McCarthy in there more than anybody. I hope you understand that. He is an establishment guy, okay? The way Washington works, you've heard me make this analogy before. I make the analogy of pro wrestling a lot, partly because it's true, mostly because my favorite listener is a guy named Davey who works at the radio station WIBX up in Utica. Me and Davey like are real pals, and I know he loves 80s pro wrestling. But I always say the analogy in pro wrestling is that the fans at a pro wrestling event, like I went to a pro wrestling event at the Nassau Coliseum. My buddy Bernie Laugan, we were in like fifth grade, and all the fans were actually like, it was passionate. They were beating the hell out of each other in the parking lot. It's like one of the first fist fights I ever saw was at the parking lot of the Nassau Coliseum on Hempstead Turnpike. And I'm watching fans of wrestlers beat each other up. And it wasn't until I got a little older that I became chummy with a WWE wrestler, Dolph Ziggler, who is currently an active wrestler right now. And one night, I'm not kidding, me, him, and Lincoln, my son, in a proud moment for me as a parent, Dolph was fighting at Madison Square Garden, and we went to Hooters after the fight.
Hubba, hubba.
What do you want me to tell you? We ate some wings. I was legit there for the wings. I think Lincoln had other ideas. But as I'm sitting there watching him have his wings with the other wrestler he fought that night, it dawned on me that when I was back at the Nassau Coliseum in the 80s, getting in shoving matches with other wrestling fans, Macho Man versus Hulk Hogan at the time, it never dawned to me in the moment that the Macho Man and the Hulkster were actually hanging out as best friends while the rest of us were beating each other up. And that's Washington. The Democrats get on TV and hate the Republicans. The Republicans get on TV and hate the Democrats. But when the TV cameras hang off, they're all going to Hooters together. That's what's going on in Washington right now. As we speak, that's what's going on.
I love it when you talk dirty.
I don't mean to talk dirty, but that's how they're doing. They're doing us dirty. Bottom line, we're going to discuss some of it, but not all of it, with Diamond Dave Landau, superstar comedian. He is touring the country right now. He's on his way out to the Denver Improv this month. But he's going to be stopping by in the next hour to discuss a decision by a Virginia school district to eliminate merit, no more honors programs for the kids, because they think it's demoralizing the dumb kids. Heaven forbid we just get them a tutor. No, we just penalize the smart kids, and this is why we're going to hell in a handbasket. But Diamond Dave will save the day next on Fox Across America. Oh, girl, it is Fox Across America. Your radio buddy Jimmy Fallon, Kevin McCarthy, giving me shades of Howard Cosell. Do you remember the famous clip where Joe Frazier, smoking Joe Frazier, got in the ring against George Foreman? Didn't end good. The iconic call from Howard Cosell. Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier. Well, down goes McCarthy. He has now lost an eighth consecutive speaker vote.
You ought to be ashamed of yourself. Secretary.
Worth noting that he was wholeheartedly endorsed by Donald Trump yesterday. And I said this yesterday. Trump really opened himself up to a body shot when it comes to critiques of the influence he has over this party. You know, and Chuck Todd and all those other dirtbags were out there talking about it. Here it is, clip 16, Chuck Todd.
Donald Trump, once again, was very helpful to Kevin McCarthy to the point of it got him not a single new vote.
Not a single vote, which
but
is
it's kind of a reminder of just, we've been chronicling how much power he's been losing inside the party. I think this is why Trump had been so quiet for a while, for fear that his voice doesn't matter. I think we just found out. At least when it comes to getting McCarthy over the finish line, he could maybe end McCarthy if he wanted to, but he can't, couldn't crown him.
There's a slob. There's a real slob.
It is worth noting, though, that it is unprecedented in the Trump era that as many as 22 Republicans would not follow Trump's lead. Trump Truth Socialed yesterday. When he got out of bed, everybody vote for McCarthy. Let's put this to bed. Let's wrap it up today. Today has now become tomorrow. McCarthy has now lost two more times at the very least. They're going to vote again shortly, I would assume. I don't know when this ends. But joining us now is a guest everyone would vote for. Not only would they vote for him, but they would then, when the voting was done, they would head out to the Denver Improv. They'd see him do live stand-up comedy January the 20th and the 21st. That's assuming he didn't win the speakership vote. Dave Landau is here. Yo, Diamond Dave.
Hey, how are you, sister?
Yeah, better now, girlfriend. I'm laughing. I don't mean to rope you into politics because I've had enough. I don't care. But the dude, Kevin McCarthy, has now run. I mean, assuming this is class president, he's run eight times and lost. Would you run a ninth time? Am I missing something?
I wouldn't run once. I don't even run now, physically. But no, I always wonder why people are glutton for punishment. It's like, you know what? People said seven times they don't want me. Let's feel this in eight.
It's a weird, you know what I mean? It's like a weird get the hint moment. But he's doing it. It's going on. So we're going to continue to cover it. But I wanted to cover really quickly two things. First and foremost, so the highest honor someone can get in my book in terms of comedy, okay, is some type of an endorsement from my brother Mike. My brother Mike's the funniest guy I know. Like growing up, he could do like character voices and stuff and, you know, would always kind of pick on me, but in a good humorous way. And Mike was always like the comedy brain in the house. Like, funny, do my own thing. But my brother Mike was the gold standard in my house. My uncle Sonny, the late great uncle Sonny, was also like the driving force of humor. But over the holiday break, I was out in Ohio and I got a text from my brother Mike saying that, oh, you got to check out this web series. It's hilarious. And it was your web series, Normal World, from my brother Mike.
And that's awesome, man.
Well, hold on. This is important because he knows you from the radio show. But at the time, he didn't know that that's who he was shouting out. And I was like, oh, that's Landau. And he's like, oh, my God, get out of here. He's like, I thought he sucked on the radio. I'm kidding. But no, great. Great. If people haven't seen it, just give me a plug. Where do they go get Normal World?
Oh, thank you very much. Yeah, it's just the first episode we put out. It's Normal World. You can go to YouTube.com/TheDTLandau. I didn't think about it when I made the page 10 years ago.
But... Yo, I have two YouTube pages that I started when I was a cab driver that I don't even know how to edit or take down. I can't. They're just there now. There's a video of my kid like on a swing set. There's like an old stand-up set at an open mic. And I can't even take it down. Go ahead. So I feel your pain.
Yeah, I really don't understand tech. So it's like, yeah, you can take, you know, it's like getting the worst directions to anything and people just give up. But if you go to YouTube.com, the DT Landau. Also, if you go to my Twitter, Dave Landau, Instagram, Landau Dave, all that stuff. It's all there. There's links there, sketches, everything. Please check it out. I really appreciate that.
No,
Mike, if you're listening, thank you.
Oh, my brother. What time is it? 2:40 in the app? Now he's in a Hooters. But the point is, who knows? You don't know.
Right.
You don't know.
Is he with my brother? He's also named Mike. He behaves the same way.
Oh, that's so funny, man. That's so funny. But yes, I loved it. And they should go see it. And I'm not going to give it away. But the first episode revolves very heavily around trauma and terminology and, you know, the victimhood they're selling on the left. And perhaps maybe even some fake oppression, I would go out on a limb and say.
Yes.
But it's really it's legit funny, man. And like, you know, like where I come from and I know you're in the same boat. Like if either one of us is at a comedy club this weekend, we're going to kill. We're good at this because we're emotionally tormented people who have devoted 20 years of our lives to figuring out how to get good at this. I don't take any, I'm not embarrassed to say it. Like you can't imagine how dead you have to be on the inside to get good at stand-up comedy. But the point is we've been willing to fight those deaths. So I am always able to root for other comedy because I'm not insecure and I know you're not either. So to see this come off and be as good as it was actually a big moment for me because I want comedy to be good. Comedy had a bad reputation for a long time because the wrong people were in positions of power. But as they say in the movie Taxi Driver, one day a real rain will come and wash all this scum off the face of the earth. Well, get an umbrella, yeah. Dave Landau, because I think it's raining.
Well, that means a lot to me, man. Seriously, it really does, because that's what I wanted to put out there. And thank you for getting it. And that, dude, boom. Honestly, that's the highest compliment, especially if you can throw in the De Niro reference.
When he used
to make movies that were watchable.
Who did a – it was an impersonation, and I want to give them credit. It was like – it might have even been like somebody like Joel McHale. He was like, my impersonation of De Niro's agent. He goes, ring, ring, ring. He'll do it. He just hangs up the phone.
Oh, what's this, Bad Grandpa 6? Yeah, he's in.
I mean, honestly, couldn't you argue that Meet the Fockers 2 is a hate crime? Like, the nerve of them? Come on.
It's like we're going to do 9 straight-to-video movies with you and John Malkovich in action roles for some reason. And, and who do you want? The star of Godfather 2.
It's so demented. Well, listen, okay, I'm going to transition into what I wanted to talk to you about. Because in singing the praises of your hit web series, I noticed that you didn't eliminate the more talented performers at the expense of the less talented performers. This Virginia school district, I texted you this story this morning as a parent. Basically, a Virginia school district is, for all intents and purposes, getting rid of their honors program, or at least not bestowing the honors on students until the college application process is done and the year has ended, because they don't want to celebrate the smart kids at the expense of the dumb kids, and they're saying they're doing it in the name of equity. That's essentially how you read it, right?
Correct.
But can I argue then, I'll get your take, but to me this is racist as hell. They're saying we can't have an honors program because it's unfair to minority students, but isn't them calling minority students stupid?
Well, yes. I mean, that is essentially what it is. Or just saying, even across the board, like, look, I was a terrible student. Mm-hmm. There was no equity for me. Like, I have a twin brother named Mike. I graduated the year after him. So, like, think about this. Like, if anybody's listening and picture this, you're at your twin brother's high school graduation.
Oh, you're good.
Nobody will look at you like such garbage than that moment. My mom even had Dave on the cake and just smeared it off because she had some last-minute hope for a Hail Mary, and it just never came. So that is – it just – and also I was in a thing called community school where they actually took the bad kids from both schools who weren't quite the level to get expelled yet.
Mm-hmm.
And they put us in a breakfast club type situation where you could smoke right outside the building.
Oh, that's amazing.
To keep us away from everybody else. So it wasn't even about like equality or equity or anything. It was just like, hey, you guys are such failures. We want to make sure nobody even sees you. And in this case, I would have been valedictorian.
Yo, it is so true. And this is the part that I think we're getting wrong, is in not reading people their truth, we are also denying them the self-awareness to work harder, to apply themselves. Like the bet, you know what? You know how they always say, like, oh, we need a 25-hour minimum wage. That sounds nice, but some of those jobs are supposed to suck, so you work harder and don't do them your whole life. Like the best thing that ever happened to me, it's why I never stopped talking about being a cab driver, is I realized I needed to do better. I needed more ambition. I needed to focus more on the things that I wanted to pursue. Certain jobs are supposed to suck. It's like Scared Straight. Do you remember Scared Straight as a little kid?
I do, and I also went through one at 17.
Did you really?
Yeah.
All right, I want to hear this. But for anybody who's not familiar with Scared Straight, they would essentially what, Dave? They would take a troubled teenager and lock him in a room with a convicted violent felon who would then scream at him and threaten his life till he worked harder. Is that essentially what it was?
Essentially what it was, yeah. It would be three ex-cons usually, and they'd be screaming at them and be like, give me your shoes, and that sort of thing. And then they'd have to give the convict his shoes. But, it, I mean, in real life, it was guys who were about to get out, you know, were actually safe around the kids. But they would terrify them into letting them know what prison was actually like. And they even brought it back in, I believe, the mid-2000s. Mm-hmm. They had a series on it. That's what it was. It was a Scared Straight program.
Well, let me ask you a question. Was your particular Scared Straight, were you scared straight? Like, how did it play out for Diamond Dave Landau?
They brought us to the jail because I was going in and I was arrested a lot. I used to be an addict, we talked about. And when I went in there, this guy's like, I like your earring. And it was just a jail. And one guy goes, you know, how many times have you been blanked in the blank? Can I say that? Yeah.
Smurfed in the Smurf. There you go.
He goes, how many times have you been smurfed in the Smurf, Mr. James? And this guy goes, about 50. And he goes, this guy's for real. And made the scariest eye contact you've ever seen from another human being. And it worked, but it was like a jail. So, you know, later I realized that it wasn't even like the prison because they wouldn't even throw me. But, yeah, it was part of that program to make me go, you don't want to do this. And even then when I was like a bad, troubled teen getting arrested and stuff, I still worked. Like I had jobs all the time. Like I was always a waiter or a busboy. I learned to detail cars, which may or may not have been for, you know, a connected branch of people. But I did, you know, I did a lot of fun things. But you do have to do those jobs because you want – the last, like, real job I had was selling luggage. I sold upscale luggage in a very bad neighborhood in Detroit. And there's really nothing that makes less sense than that because you have to close by 5 so you don't get murdered. And – people would just run in and steal the luggage and run out. And I'm not the kind of guy who's going to chase after you. So people got a lot of free luggage.
And the irony is the people who stole it wound up getting a position in the Biden administration.
Well, that's true. Well played.
Sam Brightman, there you go.
I'm like, where's my jacket?
I had a lucky like Catskills joke on Outnumbered 2 weeks ago. Because they were talking about that. The guy came up in conversation, and Kennedy goes, yeah, but that's over now. Biden gave him a pink slip. And I go, and he put it on. Hey-o! All right, everybody. Come on, folks. You should.
Yeah, right when it happened, yeah. They just tweeted, this guy just stole my prom dress. I had nothing to wear.
Oh, that's funny. Dave Landau is on the phone. You can see him at the Denver Improv, January 20th and 21st. You can watch his web series right now. It is called Normal World. It is on the YouTube. I also texted you about Cardi B. Give me a second on Cardi B. So she was complaining about inflation on the Twitter, saying that lettuce was
mostly lettuce.
Yeah, she was really weird that she was complaining about lettuce specifically. She said lettuce was $2, now it's $7. Is there any chance that she was confusing lettuce and weed?
I know. I'm like, you do me. That's the same thought. I'm like, you mean marijuana, right? Yeah. Because there's no way. Who's selling you lettuce for $7 and why are you buying it? I'm just making up numbers.
Well, they know she's a rapper and she's got bling, so they probably figure. Because she said in the tweets that she gets a monthly report on what her household is spending. But this happens to rappers because it happens to pro ball players. They basically have financial advisors that are spending their money for them. And if you don't have a background in finance, you get robbed. There was a Sports Illustrated story. It's probably like 15 years old now, about how a major league pitcher on the Angels from the Dominican Republic was talking to a reporter about how he couldn't believe that car insurance was $200,000 a month in America. Which means whoever his financial advisor was had a Progressive policy for $1,300 and was making $2.4 million a year. But that's what happens, you know?
Guy just hates Flo every time she's on TV.
He shot his TV. He wanted to get Flo.
Just like Elvis.
Oh, man, I love that about Elvis. Fat Elvis is the greatest thing that ever happened to this country. He doesn't get celebrated enough. You know that?
No, he deserves a day, and I don't mean Elvis Day. I mean Fat Elvis Day.
Specifically Fat Elvis. Well, Eric, just to speak to our background as performers then, and I can kind of leave you on this. This happened recently. My Aunt Fran, who is as big of an Elvis fan as there is, and rightfully so, as I said, I have taken my mom and my aunt to Graceland, and they've been on the plane. My mom, as a matter of fact, set off an alarm on Elvis's plane, the Lisa Marie, because she sat on the bed because she wanted to say she was in Elvis's bed. That's kind of classy gal my mom is.
Go ahead. She was over 18.
Yeah. Like, hell no, we can't have that. Hey, you leave Priscilla out of this, young man. Stay focused. Great joke though. So in the process of going to Graceland, that spun off into a series of Elvis impersonators at milestone birthday parties, like my 25th birthday. You know, people's 50th birthdays, people's 60th birthdays. We had an Elvis impersonator. Well, this year, really quick, I know they went out and they got a McCartney impersonator. And I was really laughing because it was a really good McCartney impersonator. But in a backstage moment where I saw the guy getting into his Sgt. Pepper's album, his jacket, I heard him mutter to himself, he had gotten so fat. He goes, I don't even fit in this jacket anymore. He's like, I should have been an Elvis impersonator. I could have kept eating. And I found that so funny. And no one heard it but me, and I didn't comment on it. But I completely got it in that moment. The reason you only see rhinestone Elvis impersonators is because you can be fat and still do the gig.
Of course. And also, it's crazy. At my birthday parties, we just had Ringo.
You didn't even get a McCartney impersonator?
No, so, it was the actual guy.
He's like, yo, could you help a brother out? He's like, lettuce is $7 a head. Could you help me out? Peace and love.
Oh. Come on, me and my All-Star band. We got a lot of lettuce to eat.
It turns out he was in your Scared Straight. He's like, you got to apply yourself. Oh, great work.
That is the greatest story, though. It's the saddest moment a guy's ever had where he's like, I picked the wrong impression.
It's really, I wanted to be like, dude, there was no right one. Oh, you're the best, man. Good stuff. Everybody will see you at the Denver Improv. I'll talk to you soon, Diamond Dave.
Thank you, sir.
My man. Back after this.
You're hanging out with Jimmy Failla on Fox Across America.
Bottom of the ninth here on Fox Across America, but the party is just getting started. I will be on TV tonight. I will be on the Sean Hannity Show this evening, and I am scheduled to appear again tomorrow. If you missed any of today's TV appearances so far, I was on Fox and Friends First at 5 o'clock this morning. That is on the Fox Across America Facebook page. I will also post my appearance on Stuart Varney's show from 11:30 today. Me and Varney got together, had a grand old time. But the party for you and me, man, I got to tell you, what a fun show. Game Ball, the Diamond Dave Landau, very wildly funny. And Jason Chaffetz for taking us inside the House Speaker nomination process, a process that'll very well be going on this time tomorrow because McCarthy just lost again. But either way, the show's over. Be a Republican, be a Democrat. Don't be a...
Hey, it's Clay Travis. Join me for Outkick the Show as we dive deep into a mix of topics. New episodes available Monday to Friday on your favorite podcast platform and watch directly on outkick.com/watch.
Listen to the show ad-free on Fox News Podcast Plus, on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music with your Prime membership, or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.